are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On at Big 12 Podcast. Today it is April 5th, 2021. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. We are here, guys. We have arrived at our national championship game, and time is a flat circle. It will be Baylor and Gonzaga. We'll have a full breakdown of the Final Four, a championship game preview, and some notes on some coaching moves in the Big 12 as well when we come back. All right, let's do it here on this Monday on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Gotta start off, guys. I know it's a Big 12 show, but we can't start the show without talking about Baylor's opponent in the Final Four, Gonzaga. We'll get to Baylor and Houston in a second, but Gonzaga takes out UCLA 93-90 in what I will call, and I know it might sound like hyperbole, but I do believe this, that's the best college basketball game I've ever watched. My favorite game of all time is that Syracuse-UConn 6 overtime game in the Big East tournament a while back. That's my favorite game I've ever watched. I was a bit younger when I watched it, but still, it's my favorite game. But this was the best college basketball game I've ever seen. And the reason was the level of play was so high. I'm somebody that watches a decent amount of NBA basketball, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are too. Once again, Big 12 country really slept on in terms of NBA fandom. I know there's a lot of awesome Oklahoma City Thunder fans out there, Mavericks, Spurs, Rockets, all across the board. Big 12 country is pretty well represented when it comes to the NBA. And I'm sure a lot of you guys, you know, watch those teams and watch any NBA basketball. And the level of play is what sticks out to you. It's such a high level of play. I mean, you expect guys to make shots in the NBA in a way that you don't expect college players on the whole to make shots. That was not the case in this game. UCLA shot 58% from the floor, 47 from three, and they were 14 of 21 from the line. Gonzaga shot 59% from the floor. They were 33% from three, and they were 12 for 20 from the line. So the level of shot making in this game was extremely high. And obviously we had the crescendo, we had the moment in March, with Jalen Suggs hitting that half-court shot. And this delivered us a couple things. One, a signature moment of March. That is no doubt the signature moment we've had so far in this NCAA tournament. It's also delivered us a championship game between Gonzaga and Baylor. And here is what I want to say about this. Oftentimes in sports and in life, we rarely get what we want. In the last year, we have gotten a whole lot of what we hadn't want in sports and in life, and also in some really awful and terrible ways. That shot is everything that we wanted. That shot helped us get to a game that is everything that we wanted. That game was perfect and helped us get to a point that is everything that we wanted. So please, I beg of you, I ask you, please just celebrate. I was actually able to go out, it was outdoors at a restaurant, able to watch this game with a whole lot of people, and people were going crazy. Trying to maintain some social distance and wear some masks and whatnot, but people just couldn't help themselves. Many people were vaccinated as well, but still, you know, it was, sports was moving people to a point where nothing else seemed to matter. Nothing else seemed to matter while people were watching this game. A Jesuit school from, Washington was facing off against the blue blood power in Los Angeles, which was, the roles were flipped around. One is the powerhouse now. One is trying to reclaim some glory. And these people gathered at a watering hole in Richmond, Virginia, outside in the middle of a global pandemic, seemed to put all of that aside to watch these two schools battle it out in what was a tremendous, tremendous affair that was ended off by one of the most iconic shots in NCAA tournament history. And, look, I think a lot of us don't want to give up. The tournament last year, we would trade anything for it. But the fact that now we got to live this moment and got to see Jalen Suggs hit that shot to give us this game we're going to see tonight doesn't make it all worth it. But I think everybody, Tom Brennan, who I work with at SiriusXM, always says, I'm going to fill your bucket, fill your bucket today. And that's just kind of a metaphor for kind of make yourself whole, have a good day. I mean, I think everybody's bucket was pretty much filled. I was financially invested in UCLA. I had them plus 14 and a half with our friends at betonline.ag. I also took a money line too, just because, you know what? Why not? Somebody's eventually going to give Gonzaga a great game. And I couldn't even be mad when that shot went in. I'm sure a lot of you guys saw the reaction that's been going around on Twitter of Bill Walton watching Johnny Juzang hit that layup. And then also in the end, Jalen Suggs hitting that shot. And he just kind of looked there and just, he clapped his hands and said, wow. What a game. And, you know, he's obviously one of the biggest UCLA fans that you're going to find. And that was his reaction to what was one of the best basketball games I've ever watched, college or pro. It is definitely the best college basketball game I've ever watched. Jalen Suggs has been a star already, in my opinion. But a star was truly born. The entire country witnessed who Jalen Suggs was. And I know he wasn't the best in this game, but his... I mean, down the stretch, man, you have that block on Riley, and then you save the ball coming back in bounds, and you have that tremendous bounce pass to Drew Timmy in transition. What else could you ask for? I mean, that guy is just a stud. And then he obviously hits the shot in overtime. Great call by Mark Few not calling timeout. And look, Gonzaga played a great game. UCLA played a great game. I think a lot of people were like, well, that's a story with Gonzaga. They took the best shot and they couldn't falter. Baylor could give them a shot like that too, and we'll see what happens. But Gonzaga gets by in this game with that offense up and down. And this game got away from a little bit from UCLA in terms of pace, but I thought for the most part they did a really good job of managing the number of possessions in this game, and their offense was awesome. They just have shot makers. I talk a lot about how teams making the tournament and I think oftentimes people believe that what you do in the tournament somehow justifies whether you should have been in or not, right? And that just is not true. We evaluate you on your resume up to the point of the tournament, not what you do in the tournament, up to the point of your tournament. Your resume is what you say it says you are at that point of the season. There is a strong case for UCLA not getting in the NCAA tournament. They lost their last four games. Quad ones, quad twos, not excellent there. But they had enough to get themselves in a play-in game. And that's all they needed. And this UCLA group, to their credit, became what they should have been throughout the course of the season. And Tiger Campbell, who was not great for most of the year, was awesome in the NCAA tournament, was consistent in the NCAA tournament. And he's just a sophomore. Johnny Juzang, I mean, this guy is an absolute star. He is a big shot maker. He's a big shot taker. He's a big shot maker, man. I mean, you even go back to the game that he had against Michigan State. 23 points, 9 of 20 shooting. You know, one of those games they needed him in that game. The BYU game, 10 for 16. He scores 27 points in UCLA's win. Abilene Christian, another consistent night for him. He scored 17 points. He was 7 of 15 shooting. Another nice night for him. Alabama game was at a really rough night. And his team picked him up. Last two games of the tournament, 28 against Michigan on 11 of 19 shooting, and then 29 against Gonzaga on 12 of 18 shooting. So Johnny Juzang delivering over and over and over again. I mean, turning himself into an absolute star. And look, they're going to be lucky if they can convince him to come back to school for another year. Jaime Jaquez, another guy who's just a sophomore that they could bring back. And we'll see if they can get all these guys back. But I was just absolutely floored by how good this team played and finally realizing their potential and the job that Mick Cronin did to help them reach that. This team has that talent. Obviously, they were able to absorb the loss of Chris Smith, I believe all Pac-12 player last year, and they were able to thrive all the way up to this point. And the one thing I will say is that they showed that they were unafraid of the moment from when the ball tipped. They were not intimidated. Nothing that Gonzaga did knocked them off their game. They were willing to go blow for blow with the Zags. They were willing to land punch for punch. Down 5 in overtime, you might say, I don't like this spot for them. But what do? They go down, and Gonzaga ends up hitting a 3. I mean, UCLA, rather, hits a 3. They were willing to go punch for punch in this game. On the Gonzaga side of things, for them, I mean, way to absorb another team's best punch. And they did. Joel Ayayi, a guy that, you know, is not an unsung hero, but he scores 22 points in 9-12 shooting in this game. Just consistent as all get out. I thought that Corey Kispert, 15, was pretty quiet, but also did a good job moving the ball around in this game. And Drew Timmy really turned it on. And that's something that we noticed, you know, with the four fouls, the way he played with the four fouls, just, you know, that's how you have to play. I mean, you just got to sometimes kind of forget the fouls and play loose if it means helping your team get to victory. That's what Drew Timmy did. All right, let's turn our attention now to Baylor's game. And there's really not a lot to talk about here. Baylor absolutely boat raced Houston from the word go. They only won by 19, but this first half, I mean, there was Houston maybe made a little run there in the beginning of the game, but they didn't have much for Baylor. And Baylor, what I will say is this was a good matchup for them. We kept calling them Baylor light. They really were. Baylor shot 53%, 46% from three, 9 of 13 from the line. They were ready for Houston. They knew exactly what they were going to get. Houston got a couple offensive rebounds in the early part of this game, but Baylor won the battle on the glass. Plus five. They did give up 14 offensive rebounds, but they were pretty inconsequential at later points in the game. They did a good job, for the most part, of keeping Houston off the glass. And that's what Houston wants to do. They want to attack you and go off the glass and create extra opportunities. Baylor did not let them do that. The first possession was pretty rough for Baylor in terms of boxing out, but then they just absolutely turned on the Jets. And the big three for Baylor, not the best night shooting. 6 for 9 for Butler, 4 of 11 from Davion Mitchell, 4 of 9 for Maceo Teague. But these guys, and that's kind of what they do. They led by example, and also their defense was tremendous. They were all over Houston from the get-go. I mean, Davion Mitchell is just a pain in the ass on the defensive end. He ends up with a double-double. He had 12 points, 11 assists. But on the perimeter, what he does is he forces opposing guards far away from the basket and makes it really difficult to get into your actions, your offensive flow. He makes it really challenging. And that's the challenge that he's going to have tonight. He is going to be tasked with pressuring Jalen Suggs and pushing him away from the basket in order to prevent Gonzaga from getting into their offensive sets. So Baylor in this game, you know, they kind of just knew what they were going to get in Houston and allowed them to stay off the glass. I think they played pretty well on the defensive end in terms of forcing Houston to get difficult looks. And Baylor in the first half was lights out. That was a huge key, is that they made everything they were taking in the first half. And that's one thing about this Baylor team, is they can do that to you. They're the best three-point shooting team, a lot of people say, in the entire country, right? They're one of the best three-point shooting teams. That's what they're able to do. And the way that they're able to find different guys, right? I mean, they can throw a five out there, and this is a dangerous five that you want nothing to do with. When it's, you know, Maceo Teague, Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell, Adam Flagler, and then Matthew Meyer, all those guys, yeah, sure, they're small, their size are under 6'9", but they can all score. They can all fill it up. And that's kind of what they want to bring. I also thought Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa played really well, too. In his 21 minutes, he scores 11 points, grabs 6 boards. They're going to need him. They're going to need him and Flo Thamba, and I guess Mark Vital as well. I'm not really sure if they go that route, throwing him out there against Drew Timmy. They're going to need them in this game. Definitely, definitely. I want to say, though, this is that we thought this would be the more competitive of the two games. I told you guys today, I didn't think it would be, you know, in the end, that competitive of a basketball game. I really didn't have that much of a concern for Gonzaga in this, for Baylor in this game. And it really never should have been. It was funny to watch Baylor hold up their end of the bargain early in the day, and we all thought, well, you know, Gonzaga's going to get, going to blow by UCLA, and we're going to get this matchup. That was not the case. I'm glad we actually did get a good game, but it was not the game that we thought. Credit to the schedulers for putting Baylor and Houston early, and prime time, we got Gonzaga and UCLA. Let's take one more break, and then we'll pause. We'll come back, and we'll preview the championship game. Today's show is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You guys know the deal. Football season is long gone, but right now we are in the heart of basketball season for the NBA and college hoops. NHL is in full swing, and here comes baseball as well. Also, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for a 50% deposit bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we have arrived at the championship game. Baylor and Gonzaga. The Gonzaga Bulldogs are a number one seed, as are the Baylor Bears. Gonzaga, 4.5-point favorites. And once again, we've arrived at a point where so many times this season, right, we thought it was Baylor, Gonzaga, in the field. Baylor, Gonzaga, in the field. We were supposed to get this game, obviously, in the first part of the season. It just turns out that it was just a delay. The inevitable was delayed. And we should appreciate this. I know the game that we got against UCLA and Gonzaga probably is going to end up being better than this Baylor-Gonzaga game. Not saying it won't be a great game, but just naturally thinking like that, you know, it's hard to conceive of a way that this game is not as good. This game is better than the one that we just saw. That being said, I mean, it's the dream matchup. You know, how often, especially in college sports, we say it's these two teams the entire way. I mean, we thought it was Clemson, Bama, everybody else this year. And then, you know, Ohio State dominated Clemson in the playoff game. So this happens. These kind of things, you know, they happen. We got Ohio State versus Alabama. In college sports, these things do happen quite frequently. And the fact that we were able to get the two teams that we projected from the get-go to be in the championship game is remarkable, and it's a testament to what these two groups have accomplished. Now, Gonzaga, obviously, so much history on the line for them, right? A chance to be an undefeated team from wire to wire in the season. And I will say this. I'm one of those people who believes that Gonzaga is the best team in the country. I also believe that Gonzaga, if they had played in a power conference, probably not undefeated. We just saw Michigan, and you know, when you play with Michigan and Baylor, their schedule, especially in the middle of a COVID season, it's just difficult to fathom going undefeated. Maybe they would have, but I tend to think no, because I think a lot of people do believe Baylor is one of the best two teams in the country, and also I think they believe that because their losses have shaped what they are, right? That Oklahoma State loss in the Big 12 tournament, I think, actually helped shape who this team currently is right now. They're able to get those extra practices in. They're able to come back. And, I mean, they've been wheeling and dealing during their entire tournament run, right? They're down a halftime against Villanova, turned it on in the second half. Baylor, you know, against Houston, down the beginning, just by a little bit, turned it on. Arkansas, they put it on them early. That was some foul trouble. And then later in the game, you know, got close, but really able to put some distance between them and Arkansas and go on and win that game. So I think a lot of the things that, you know, those losses helped shape them. Now, Gonzaga's one of those teams so uber talented. I think experience of maybe having a close game helped shape them. Now, you turn your attention to the game tonight. Couple keys here. Drew Timmy obviously is going to be a problem for Baylor. They got to figure out what they're going to do with him. And I think the best way to combat Drew Timmy is, like we were talking about, have those guards be a factor in the way that they push. They don't allow initiation of the offense. That's something that's going to be a big key, because Timmy in this tournament has been phenomenal. Norfolk State game withstanding, he wasn't great in that game, but they didn't really need him to be. They won by, 43 points? Against Oklahoma, he had 30 points and 13 boards. Against Creighton, he had 12 points and 6 rebounds, 4 assists in a game that they won with relative ease. 23 points against USC when he dominated Evan Mobley, and then 25 in that game against UCLA where he was firmly in control of his game. So the key is, you know, with Davion Mitchell, Macy Oti, Jared Butler, you know, whoever's guarding Nembhard or Yai or Jalen Suggs, and they want to use those guys to initiate the offense, it's on those guys to push them out, to make it difficult to make entry passes, and they need to swarm on defense like they normally do. They need to be aggressive and try to disrupt Gonzaga from getting into their offensive flow. It's a must if Baylor has plans on winning this game. When it comes to Timmy, I would throw different guys at him. Don't let him get too comfortable, because he gets comfortable in these games And that's when he starts to thrive. So, not always using a better athlete the best way to go. Throw Mark Vidal at him in some possessions, right? I know Mark Vidal's not that big, but maybe he can get an advantage on him, right? In some just kind of, weird Mark Vidal way using his strength, right? Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa is going to be somebody I expect them to throw at Drew Timmy, a guy with really good athleticism, really good size. I think Flo Thamba is going to be a key in this game. They need him to give them productive minutes on the defensive end early in this game. They need him to use his size and actually cause some problems for Drew Timmy. That's why he's out there. If he's not going to be productive in that way, then they got to get him off the floor. They really got to, there's no reason for him to be out there. And I would go small and try to run with Gonzaga, and maybe put a guy like a JTT who can get an advantage, because I like the way he slashes and cuts. I think because he's not, a priority for Drew Timmy on the defensive end is going to be helping the guards out. Now, Baylor doesn't use a ton of pick and roll action a lot. A lot of times they'll use one or two, and then they'll just try to get the wing isolated and let one of those guys make a play and hit a shot. They're going to try to use Drew Timmy as much as possible to help in certain situations. He's going to be more concerned naturally with helping out his cohorts on the perimeter in whatever way he can, whether it be limiting the one shot or just getting the rebound, whether it be, helping trap in some certain situations. So if they can use a guy like JTT, who I thought was slipping to the basket very well the other day, if they can use Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa in that way, I think that's a big key. And then Flo Thamba, once again, coming back to Flo, on defense, he's just got to be there. And I think ultimately Baylor ends up going with JTT. I know he doesn't like the name, but it's easier for us. I think he rolls with Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa out there, Scott Drew does. I think he's going to pair him. I think there's going to be some lineups where it might be Flagler out there, Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa out there with the three guards, or maybe a Matt Meyer alongside of a Jonathan Chamwa-Chachwa. Then you go with the three guards as well. A lot of different ways to attack and diagnose. All I know is this, is that Baylor needs to show that fearlessness. They need to show that willingness to shoot the rock wherever they catch it. And those guys are excellent shot makers. That's why, I know Maceo gets a lot of crap for how his jumper kind of looks, but look, he's an excellent shot creator and maker. He's not just a standstill three-point shooter. The guy can get his own shot. Jared Butler, we know, can get his own shot. Davion Mitchell is one of the quickest guys in the world. I can't wait to watch that matchup. Those guys are going to have a tall task tonight with trying to defend on one end and also create their own shot on the other. But that can be the same. The same is going to be said for the guards of Gonzaga. Those guys, it's not going to be an easy evening. And we saw them struggle as well in the last game. They had a tough time staying in front and also stopping the shot making. And I would say UCLA and Baylor are very comparable in terms of their shot makers. I know Juzang and Jaquez and Tiger are a bit different, but the challenges that Butler, Davion, and Maceo provide are those guys are great shot makers. And with a guy like Davion Mitchell, who can really get by anybody, maybe even save Jalen Suggs is the big question, that is the key. The game's going to be won on the perimeter, in my opinion. I know how good Drew Timmy is, but it's up to Baylor to stop the initiation of the offense, make it much more challenging for them to get into their offensive sets, and that is the key to victory for Baylor. And look, I think this game is going to be razor close. I think it's going to be decided by a basket. Give me Baylor plus 4.5. And honestly, I think Baylor wins the game outright. Not just Big 12 bias, but I think Baylor is playing the best basketball in the country of anybody right now. And at their best, I don't think they can be beat. I know everybody thinks Gonzaga's the same way, but Baylor's got three guys on the perimeter that at their best, you cannot stop them. No team in the country has three guys who can lock up on the perimeter. You can say maybe a Yai, Nembhard, and Suggs could be the guys, but if you're asking me which three guards you want to take, I'm taking Davion, Jared, and Maceo over Jalen Suggs, Joel Ayayi, and Andrew Nembhard. I just am. It's just the way, and maybe you say it's Big 12 bias, but no. Drew Timmy is the big advantage. I'd say Corey Kispert an advantage as well. I'm really curious to see how Baylor goes about checking him, but I do think that, that the X factor is for Gonzaga. When they play their best, it's really all about getting Drew Timmy the ball, and I think it's all about Baylor tonight making that a really difficult challenge and then making Drew Timmy work once he gets the ball. That is the key tonight for Baylor. I think they do it, and I think Baylor wins the 2021 National Championship. Today's show is also sponsored by the best protein bar out there right now, Built Bar. Guys, go to builtbar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to receive 15% off on your next purchase at builtbar.com. And go check out their Twitter account right now, @bar_built. If you guys go there, you guys can vote on your favorite Built Bar. They're doing Built Bar Madness right now. They have a bracket set up, and you can go to Built Bar on Twitter. It's @bar_built, and go vote for your favorite. Check back each day to see who is winning, and then you guys, you know, try to push your favorite Built Bar to the top. Now, it's going to be difficult, but with your help, you can push your favorite Built Bar to the top. Once again, go to builtbar.com today. Use that promo code LOCKED15. You'll receive 15% off on your next purchase. Before we get out of here, I do want to mention a couple things on the coaching front. Obviously, it was made official last Friday, didn't have time to record since then, but Porter Mosier is going to be the head coach at Oklahoma now. He obviously was the Loyola Chicago coach. He goes to Oklahoma. On its surface, great hire. We are going to talk more about it as we get further into the week when I get some more thoughts on it. But right now, obviously, it's all about the national championship. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention that acquisition, addition for Joe C. in this Oklahoma athletic department. I think it is a great move, and it's a great hire for Oklahoma. In this climate, I think it's probably, he was the best name available, and they got him. I love the hire for Oklahoma. We'll talk more about it later on in the week. Make sure you follow us at LO Big 12. We'll be doing a live show after the game, the Bracket Mayhem Live on YouTube. So make sure you guys go check that out. Once again, follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12. Follow me at Josh Neighbors_. And until next time, my friends, please stay safe.